two ears and mouth. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, we're good. We're good. As we read this morning, it puts me in mind of being newly married. I was newly married many, many years ago, and we were living in the historic hill section of Scranton. And our pastor at that time was living at 631 Madison Avenue, and my wife and I, my new wife, we were living at 633 Madison Avenue. And I had a little office, as I always do in every home we have, and I was in that office reading the Bible. And I had never had this particular portion of Scripture pop out at me. It just like leaped off the page. And I never forgot it. And the part specifically that really leaped off the page was, if you look at Psalm 81, verse 10, and the second half, letter B of that Psalm 81, 10, it says, well, the first part says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And it was like God was personally counseling me in this psalm. And I read other scripture around it. And I took it to heart and never forgot it. And every time I read this portion of scripture, I think about the fact that was one of those times, you know, when it was like God was personally taking the Word of God and counseling me in a very specific way. And I believe it had a lot to do with my upcoming life and ministry. I've had other scriptures like that. Like when I was called to preach, I've had that scripture in Joshua 1. But this is one of them, Psalm 81, verse 10. So I would like to take these verses this morning. And on this Chili Bowl Sunday, I want to preach on the Lord's personal counsel to you. From Psalm 81, verses 9 through 14. The Lord's personal counsel to you. And I want to say four things about that. Number one, the first counsel is, he says to you, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves from idols. Let's read verse number 9, Psalm 81. I'll read it. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. Now here God was opening my ears. He was, as it were, counseling me personally. And I saw before me that great blessing of God saying, I'm the Lord your God. Open wide your mouth and I'll fill it. And that was so positive and so encouraging. But in order for you to get the blessings of God today, in order for you to enjoy the fruit of your salvation and all that God wants you to do, he says you have to, first of all, keep yourself from idols. And the first thing I realize about God here is that God is a jealous God. God is a very jealous God. Mentioned J. Otto Peeble when I was in Meyer's store as a little boy in Michigan with my dad. And there was a guy walking around. He looked like a bank teller with glasses on. He looked like a business guy. And just a mild-mannered little man. and my dad said, that's J. Otto Peebles. And I said, who's J. Otto Peebles? He said, well, he came home from work one day. And he saw his wife and another man in the same bed together kissing each other. And he came in from work and he took out a gun and shot them both dead. I said, well, what's he doing walking around in Myers? He said he was freed for temporary insanity. Temporary insanity. And he is now free. You know what? My wife told me, if I ever catch you, you're a dead man. I never forgot that. And I want to just say to you that we have a natural jealousy. It's something God put in us. We're made in God's image. You're jealous about your spouse. spouse, or you should be if you have a brain in your head. And God has married us, his people. Israel was his Old Testament wife. We who are born-again believers, you're the New Testament bride of Jesus Christ. And if you cheat on him, that's not an easy, small thing. He said, you'll have no strange gods among you because I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, as he gave Israel his commandments and his law. And so Moses went up in the mountain to receive God's law. He was up there 40 days and 40 nights. And what did they do right while he was up there? Well, they said, we don't know what's become of Moses. We don't know about him, the servant of this God that led us out of Egypt. We need to make ourselves gods. And Aaron said, well, okay, take your jewelry and give it to me. And they got their jewelry, and they formed out of a molten golden jewelry, they formed this golden calf. And they started dancing and had contemporary music. Then they got naked, and then they got into all kind of things. And God had a lot of death come down on them. He was so jealous. Let me tell you, God is a jealous God. He wants to bless us. He wants to give us the privileges of our Christian life. But the Bible says in Acts 7, 41 through 43 about Israel, it says that they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifices unto the idol and rejoiced in the work of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your God, small g, Remphan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. God said, I'm a jealous God, and you made up the gods of Moloch, and you made the gods of Remphan, and all these different nations. The Bible says Solomon, he was a great king. He loved God. David loved God. God blessed David. God blessed Solomon, and they got all the land of Israel, all the promised land, from the Mediterranean Sea all the way to modern-day Iraq. By the way, that's all their land. And yet, because of idolatry, God had them carried away into Babylon and taken captive in their land lay. God is a jealous God, and yet we tend to be idolaters. You say, well, that's the Old Testament. What about the New Testament? New Testament says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. 1 John 5:21. Remember Jacob's wife, Rachel? And she had idols with her that she took from her father's house. And I'm just saying today, listen to me. Hey, listen to me. If you want to have in your life God's blessing, keep yourself from idols. You know, idols could be a friend and wanting to please a friend, quote unquote. An idol could be your money and you're too busy for God, so you're too busy. An idol could be a computer, a little cell phone that you can't turn that thing off in order to hear the Word of God and turn on the Word of God and listen to the Word of God. You are addicted to that cell phone. It could be pornography and you're hooked on to things because the computer is set up to get you away from God and get you into that pornography. It could be prescription drugs. It could be alcohol. It could even be cigarettes. Cigarettes. They're one of the most addictive things there is. God says in 1 John 5:21, keep yourselves from idols. Why? They will take you away from God. They will take you away from the blessings that God has in your life. It could be a relationship with a man. It could be a relationship with a woman or a teen boy or a teen girl. It could be a quote-unquote friend that takes you away from God. You say, but I love that thing. That's your problem. You see, God says, love me with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. That's the first and great commandment. The Bible says, that's the Old Testament. The Bible says in the New Testament, I have this against you. You have left your first love. He said, if you don't repent and remember what you used to have with me, I'm going to take away your candlestick. Their candlestick was their church and the blessings of their church. Sometimes even church and church activities can take the place of God. And you have churchianity instead of Christianity. Jesus said, where two or three are meeting in my name, gathering in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Has something taken you away from that love for the Lord? You say, well, I'm supposed to love my wife as my own body. That's true, but the Bible says, unless you hate your wife and hate your children. Why would it say that? He doesn't mean you're actually to hate them. He means in comparison of how much you love God.
Right.
It seems as hate compared to it. Frankly, I see a great lack of love for God in God's people. I see a great lack of enjoyment of God in God's people. It seems that there are so many distractions, so many things that take our time, take our attention. It's the tyranny of the urgent. It's calling for us. And we go to it instead of putting God first in our life. First thing when you wake up in the morning, meet with God. Keep yourself, my little children, from idle. God was giving me personal counsel. I never forgot this scripture, and I believe he's giving it to you today. You say, well, I got a lot of things I like to do. I like sports. Nothing wrong with sports. Super Bowl. Nothing wrong with Super Bowl, but the halftime show is rotten. It's as rotten as the devil. But you know, sports can be an idol.
Right.
You can't wait during church to check a score of a game. There's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with you.
Right.
Something not right there. I watch games. I'll tape them and watch them later after I'm done soul winning, after I'm done with church, after I'm done. They're down the road there somewhere. They're way down the line. I don't want it to get into first place. I've had opportunities to be in political rallies and had opportunity to meet Donald Trump and pray with Donald Trump and thank God for answered prayer. But I'll tell you what, if there's any kind of rally, any kind of thing that's in the way of the church and the church service of Jesus Christ, I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be here. My little children, keep yourself from idol. You say, well, why, Pastor, why is it stressing that so much? Not only because God's a jealous God, and he will show you he's jealous because he loves his own, but and he will wreck your idols. I've seen him wreck my idols. If I have idols, he wrecks them. He wrecks them. He doesn't like them. I've had him stomp all over them. By the way, you see, we don't have any statues in here.
Amen.
No Jesus on the cross. No statues of Jesus. That up there, that's not a statue of Jesus. There's no Jesus up there. Thou shalt not make any graven images. Anything that's in God's likeness, in heaven above or the earth beneath, you'll not use them to worship God. No. You don't use images. You don't have images of the saints and all that hogwash and images of Mary. No, there's only one mediator between God and man. He's the man, Christ Jesus. He won't honor that. And this morning he says, you churches, you Christians, you believers, you keep yourselves from idols. You walk with me by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Some of you may need faith today. Faith in Jesus Christ. You can get it through hearing the word of God, not through staring at some idol.
Yes.
Not through watching some Catholic movie, The Passion of the Christ. You say, Pastor, do you watch that movie? No, I don't. They serve the mass there every day in that movie. The guy that went up on the cross, Caviezel, I like Jim Caviezel, but he went up there and he got hit with lightning. God's trying to tell him something. You see, we live in a sensuous age and we think we can throw God out and do it our way. No, you come to God His way and make sure that He's first place in your heart and in your life. And certainly He should be. Keep yourself from idols. Every one of us has a God-shaped vacuum. And that's another reason why keep yourself from idols. Nothing else will satisfy you.
Right.
Some people make idol of food. Some days I eat so much food. I think Brother Bruce saw me eating at the Valentine's banquet. He was like, "What, Pastor, what are you eating so much for?" I was eating bread. Mm-hmm. Bruce doesn't eat bread. I said, "It's a day for me to feast." But I found out even on my feast days, on my big eat days, I don't get satisfied with food. I like it. But it makes a poor God. Amen. Some Americans that just eat so much food, all they do is get bigger and bigger and bigger. It doesn't satisfy. Life does not consist in the abundance of the things you stick in your belly and in your mouth. My little children, keep yourselves from idols. 1 John 5:21. Let God be. Remember Jesus said, "I have meat to eat you know not of. Taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted Him." The Word of God is like honey dripping from the comb. The Word of God satisfies. Are you being satisfied by it? If not, then you're going for idols. Let that satisfy. It won't do it. It won't do it. You can't do it. There is a God-shaped vacuum, and only the God of the Bible will fill it. Not your rock music, not your stuff of the world that is there. It won't fill it. Teenagers say, "Well, I'll just make out. I'll just have physical relationship. That will satisfy." No, it'll just leave you in a mess. How many have I seen that have gone that road? Some dumb guy, girls, is not going to be anything for you but a loser. Because you made him a god. My own wife, when she got married to me, she thought I was the Apostle Paul. She did. She thought, "This guy, I've never seen anything like it." She found out I got feet of clay. I'm not perfect. God tried to tell her, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And on earth there's none I desire beside thee." Even a good person in marriage, a godly person, they make a poor idol.
Right.
I'm just saying, if you want blessing, this is the Lord's counsel. Keep yourselves, beloved, from idols. Number one. Number two, remember what your Lord God has done for you. Look at verse 10, and I'll read it. It says, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt." I am the Lord thy God. There's two words for God here. One is Lord, capital L-O-R-D in the King James Bible, which is an every word Bible and the inspired preserved Bible. Capital L-O-R-D, that represents Jehovah or Yahweh. It is the word for the God who enters into a personal covenant with the nation of Israel. He appeared to Abraham and he said, "Abraham, I am going to be your God. I'm going to be the Lord." The Lord here means a God that has a personal covenant with you. I'm going to make you promises and I'm going to back those. He said, "I'm going to give you the land all the way from the Mediterranean Sea to the Euphrates River. That land is going to be your land, Abraham. All the way from the river of Egypt." And he told him these things and gave him the boundaries of the land. He said, "Abraham, not only that, I'm going to give you a child, and from your child, the whole world is going to be blessed." And that was speaking of Jesus Christ. He would come from Abraham, and then from Isaac, and then from Jacob, and his 12 sons. In other words, God blessed his people, Israel, with the blessings of God. Some people, they say, "Well, if Donald Trump goes over into Gaza and cleans people out of there and cleans the people that are in Gaza out of there, I don't want him to do that. He's being too close of a friend to Israel." Let me tell you, God said in the Abrahamic covenant, "If you bless me, I'll bless you." whenever our country's gone against Israel, like Bush did when he threw them out of the West Bank, we had Hurricane Katrina. God said, I'll curse you. Listen to me. I'll curse you if you curse my people. You bless Israel. Do not curse them. Donald Trump, being the friend of Israel, remember, he was born at the same year when Harry Truman was president. And Harry Truman was the president in 1948 when Israel became a nation. And Harry Truman got the United States to recognize Israel as a nation in the UN. And they were accepted because of Harry Truman. And Donald Trump is being a friend to Israel. That is a good thing, my friend. That is a good thing. And the people that live in Gaza, they can live in some country of the Arab people, and they were taken out of Arab countries and put there they first of all took them out of their houses, and they said, we're going to invade Israel in 1948 and we'll win the war, and then we'll give you their houses and your own house. But when they attacked them, it didn't work out that way. They lost the war. Israel won. God bless them. And now the Palestinians don't have the houses. They're living in tents, and the Arabs won't take them. Well, Donald Trump is saying they should go over here, go over there. He's right. Because the land of Israel is for the Jewish people, and those people don't want Israel in there. I'm saying the word Lord means God has a personal relationship with you and plan for your life. The word God here, Lord God, God means the creator of everything. He made everything out of nothing. Isn't it great that you could, listen to me, you could have a personal relationship with a God who made everything out of nothing? I'd say he's all powerful. I'd say he's all knowing.
Yes.
I say that this God is everywhere present. There's nowhere he doesn't see you. There's nowhere he doesn't go. And he's all powerful. My friend, this is the God that if you have a personal relationship, and then he goes on and he says, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt. He's saying, listen, remember Israel, when you were in Egypt, you were slaves down there. It was so bad that they actually made you get your own straw to make the bricks, and then they beat you guys if you didn't make enough bricks. I mean, you were in hard, cruel bondage. You were slaves. I brought you out of there. I hit them with 10 plagues. I hit them with the Passover plague, and I gave you a Passover lamb, and the blood of that lamb saved you from my judgment upon the Egyptians. And then I brought you through the Red Sea. Remember what I did for you. Hey, do you have any remembrance of God bringing you out of Satan's kingdom? Do you think about when he saved you? I'll tell you what I do. I talk about my grandma a lot. She's the one that was giving the gospel when I believed for the first time. Back there on 3300 Thompson Avenue, 1967, between my junior and senior high school, 17 years of age. But I talk about Grand Mabel all the time, but I don't talk about my great-grandma a lot. My great-grandma adopted my grandma, and she was afraid to tell her. Maybe she was afraid grandma wouldn't take care of her, and so she didn't tell her that she was adopted, but she did adopt her. My great-grandma, when she was a young lady, she went into a coma, and the Lord showed her, it's not time to die, go back, and she got saved. You know, all I remember her as is this old lady, bent over. She was probably younger than me at the time, but she was bent over, and she was listening to a radio. Listening to a radio. And you know who she was listening to? Paul Rader. Now, you know, Paul Rader was the pastor after D.L. Moody. Actually, there was R.A. Torrey, D.L. Moody before him, R.A. Torrey, then Paul Rader of that great Chicago ministry. And I remember her, she'd be listening to this fundamental preacher, and I was like, what's she into? She's really into that. And then TV had just come out, and I remember seeing a black and white TV in the 1950s, 55, 56, 57, right in there. And she'd be looking at the TV when I would come, and she would be saying, "Wow," she said, "that's Israel. Look at those tanks. God brought them back to their land. We are living in the end times." She was all excited about it. I knew nothing about it. I didn't know God. And then I remember her saying to me, there was a show called The Danny Thomas Show. And she said to me, "You remind me of Rusty on The Danny Thomas Show." I guess he was the oldest son on that show, Danny Thomas, back in the day. And I just thought, you know, this lady, she didn't have a big impact on my life. I thought, I was wrong. That lady was praying for me. She was praying for my salvation. I remember she fell down, she got feeble, she died. I was a teenager then. Grandma had me come live there, and I was having some problems, getting in fights at school, having problems in the home. They brought me there to calm me down. I went there that summer. I worked for my uncle mixing mud, you know, plaster, and they put it up on the thing, and they worked you hard there, man. I used to get angry at those guys. It was tough work. I'd go home, you know, but I stayed in the bedroom of my great-grandma who had died. And guess what she left behind? Just a King James Scofield Bible. I picked that thing up, I started reading it, and I found out I'm going to hell. It was my great-grandma's Bible. I still have that Bible down in my office, that Scofield Bible, that old Scofield. I'm going to hell. And I believe my great-grandma had prayed for me. I was in her bedroom reading her Bible, which I still have. And then my grandma, her adopted daughter, was giving me the teaching on Christ, and I got saved that summer, born again. Yeah. And her name, Grandma Mabel, was Mary Lickman. Mary Lickman. She married an Englishman, a photographer by the name of Albert Lickman. Back in the 1800s, he had a photography shop and all that in England. Amazing. Amazing. You need to remember that your God saved you. And if you're not saved yet, wouldn't it be great if today were the day that you recognized you need to be saved? That you need a relationship with the Lord? And you need the God of all creation to take your sins away, and just to look not physically at Jesus on the cross, but to look by faith like I did when I was 17 and my grandma was telling me how Jesus died on that cross and paid for our sins so that he could be the doorway. Listen, for us to come into a personal relationship with God. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And I came by Jesus. I got in through the door. You don't get in through baptism, although you should get baptized after you get saved. You don't get in through being a member of the church. You don't get in by riding the bus. You don't get in by being in a Christian home. You get in, you personally trust Jesus Christ, and you should remember that, my friend, and remember today what the Lord has done for you, because, wow, it is so great to be part of God's people. And I want to say quickly a third thing that you should do that is the Lord's personal counsel to you, and that is be poor always. That is, poor in your spirit. And this gets to the hub. I want to read verse 10. Please look at it. He says in 81:10, "Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." What an invitation that was. The words jumped out of the page. And God was saying to me, "I want to give you some great things. I want to give you some great things." By the way, if you're here today and you're a child of God, God has saved you for great things. Not stupid things of the world, not sinful things. He saved you to be a king. to be a prince, to be reigning with him. Great things. He says in Jeremiah 33:3, he says, call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Now he says here in this verse 10, I'm the Lord thy God, open wide thy mouth and I'll fill it. I remember I had a preacher, there's a great preacher named Wendell Kempton, and I met him one time personally coming out of church, and I said to him, I said, you're a great preacher. I love your sermons. When you get preaching, wow, it's just like God takes over. And he goes, well, I just do what it says here in Psalm 81, 10, open my mouth wide and God fills it. Now, I saw that happening with him. God would fill his mouth. And he does that. He fills our mouth with his words. Amen. He does that. He does it for me. I now know what he was talking about. But that's not what this verse is really talking about. This verse, verse 10 of Psalm 81, is saying you're like a little bird. How many have ever seen a bird's nest with baby birds? That's how you are if you're a child of God. That's what he was telling me. And what do you see those baby birds doing? They're like this. And the mother bird flies up with the worms and drops them in their mouth. Boop, boop, boop. And God is saying, listen, you're like a baby bird. And I want to fill you with blessings, but you got to open wide your mouth for me to fill it. And that's what God is saying to you. He's saying you need to be poor in spirit. Now, that doesn't mean you have a poor spirit. Amen. There are a lot of people with poor spirits. I don't want to have a poor spirit. And then there are people, you know, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Not that. Then he's saying, people say, if I don't have any money, then I am going to be poor in spirit. And I'll get blessed. I'll get all these blessings. Well, not necessarily. It's not whether you have money or don't have money. That's not what a poor spirit is. What a poor spirit is, listen to me, that you realize your poverty and your need for God's blessing. You need God. You need God's touch. And you are always, listen to me this morning, you're always like a baby bird. You got your mouth open wide all the time like this, watch me. And God's putting it in your mouth. When's the last time you had an answer to prayer? A personal, direct answer to prayer. I'll tell you, the fact you're here today is an answer to my prayer and some others that are here. Because we were told we were going to get all this snow. And it would pretty much knock out this chili bowl. And we prayed, God, don't let it do that. And you're here. I'm just saying that we should be having answered prayer as a regular experience of our life. You say, well, why don't I have answered prayer? Well, maybe you're not praying for one thing. It says you have not because you ask not. If there's some bird, you know, with his mouth down, all those other birds, they're going to be getting it. Open wide your mouth. Now, a lot of people, they open their mouths to people. They say, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. That's great, but how about you pray? How about you pray? How about you getting answers to prayer? God said, I will fill it. But then there are people, to be honest with you, they're asking God for things, but they're not getting it. James chapter 4 says, you have not because you ask not, but also you ask for your own lust. And so you're not going to get answers to prayer. And so we need to have we need to be poor in spirit. You know, this church, I remember it well. I preached 8 years ago, over 8 years ago, that God was going to bring in Donald Trump to deliver us from captivity. Some of you remember that well. And we prayed for it. And in 2016, in spite of election fraud and all the corruption and the control of this country by the globalists and Hillary Clinton's crew, by the way, criticizing Hillary Clinton and testifying against her is very dangerous. You'll wind up dead. Like Seth Rich and others, many others. But Donald Trump beat her. It was God. Well, he had hell to pay for that. Because you know what happened for 4 years. Attack, attack, attack. And finally, after the Wuhan virus, they hit him with a Wuhan virus, which now we're finding out was developed under Obama in North Carolina. There's papers and documents on it now, not just me saying it. It's all coming to light. Then it went to China, and they helped out. I told you this. It's now being proven. But I'm just saying, he went to get, after that, they thought, we'll knock him down. Now we'll have all these laws knocked down on elections and fair elections. And they did everything to rig that election, and they got just enough rigging to get their guy in there, old Biden. And he was in there for 4 years. You know what? When that happened, I said, this is fraud. They stole this. I said, let's go to prayer. Bobby, you remember it, and others remember it. You remember it. We had every Monday night fasting. We didn't eat, and we came and prayed. At least some of us didn't eat, and we prayed. Every Monday night. And I found out it was about 10 weeks in a row we did it. And we said, Lord, they stole the election. Don't let it stand. You stop them. You take Biden out of there. You put our true president back in. And we prayed 10 times in a row. Finally, after 10 weeks, nothing happened. And you know what I said? God's heard our prayer. We can stop the meetings. He's going to do it. I don't know when, but he's going to do it. And you know what? God said, you open wide your mouth and I'll fill it. And in Mark 11, it says, you can say to a mountain, if you don't doubt and you're praying in God's will, that mountain be lifted up and cast into the sea. And if you don't doubt in your heart, God will do it. You know what? God helped me never to doubt that God was going to bring Trump back. For 4 years! And guess what? He's back. Yeah. You want me to tell you something? If he would have got elected for his 4 years, his last 4 years, back in 2020, he would not have been able to get rid of the corruption because he had too much of it still in his administration. He wasn't wise to it. And the American people weren't wise to it. Now I talk to people all over. They are wise to it. They're getting blogs and they know what's going on and they see what's going on. I was talking to Eli's mother the other night, and she was telling me all about it. She knows all about it. And a lot of people are like that. I'm just saying to you, God will answer prayer. And there is more wrought by prayers of godly people than you can imagine. If you pray in faith and you have the cause of Christ and you're doing it in Jesus' name and for his glory, my friend, God loves to answer those kind of prayers. He says, be poor in your spirit. Have a beggarly spirit. He says, keep yourselves from idols. Remember what your Lord has done for you. And be always poor in spirit. And finally, and lastly, if you want to take the Lord's counsel, don't be like many people who profess the Lord. Don't be like many people. I wanted to read verse 11 and 12, Psalm 81, you follow. But my people would not hearken to my voice. And Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Don't be like believers who get into carnal church politics and they miss out on the blessings of God. You say, what are you talking about? It says in James 4, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have. That doesn't mean kill physically, kill the reputation of others through gossip. You lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war. It's talking about Christians fighting each other, gossiping and cutting one another down. Yet, he says, ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it on your own lust. You know what? I thank God for believers who pray and get things from God. I think of Miss Diane. She's not here today, so I'll I'll share her. She has been a blessing, and so many answers to prayer she's shared with us that God has given her. She's had her trials. She's had her physical challenges, but God has blessed her spiritually. And something that God used her to do that I've shared with last year is she got me provoked to jealousy. And I realized I was not living up to my potential in personal soul winning. And that I used to lead at least one person every day to the Lord, and I wasn't doing it. And just by her testimonies, it stirred me up to get back to it. Do you have that effect on people? Where they want what you have and they want what your God has given you and he's blessed you. Listen, you can have that. And many believers are trying to be up there and get mentioned. And I want to be this person. And they try to get up on somebody else's back and crawl up. That's not the way up. The way up is down on your knees. And getting things from God. And since then, I've been leading people to the Lord. I've had people come to church. They've gotten baptized, and God has blessed my life. In fact, our church is in the third great wave of growth since we got the real Bible, the King James Bible. And this is the third one. It began in 2023, and it's still happening here in 2025. You know, let me just finish by reading verses 13 and 14. It says, "Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries." How many of you are in Sunday school today? Okay. Those of you in my class, you know, we mentioned that Israel from Mount Sinai in the wilderness to get to the promised land, it would only take them 11 days to get there. Do you know how long it took them? 38 years from Sinai to go to the promised land. 38 years, an 11-day trip. You say, why did it take them so long? You have the secret right here. They didn't open wide their mouth. They asked amiss. They had their idols. They went after the wrong things. And I'd like to tell you that I haven't seen many believers in the same boat, but many times it's that way. We could have revival sooner than we do oftentimes. We could have blessings, but we're too busy with our selfish ambition. We're not ready to lose our life and lock in under the man of God to fulfill the great. And we're going our own way, and we're wasting God's time, and we're wasting our time, and we're wasting other people's time. Listen to me. God says, you need to realize I would bless you if you would yield to me and do, as a child of God, what you should do. By the way, if you're not yet sure you're going to heaven, God says, you can know it today. He says, today, if you'll hear my voice. Don't harden your heart. Let your heart receive my invitation. I have a free gift. You say, what's God's free gift? To live forever with him in heaven and in the New Jerusalem and in his kingdom. And he says, it's a free gift paid for by Jesus Christ, who paid for our sins. If you realize you're a sinner on your way to hell and you look to the Lord Jesus, he will not turn you down. Remember Zacchaeus? He was a little guy. He was a crook. He was a white-collar criminal, and he had embezzled money, and yet he got in a tree to see Jesus, and Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. I got to eat at your house, and Zacchaeus did. He got saved by Jesus. Perhaps you're here today, and you've been a crook, or you've sinned against God, and you've been disobedient and rebellious. You may be like I was when I was a teenager, but I got saved when I went to my grandma's house through reading my great grandma's Bible. You've been hearing a man preach to you that you can be saved and be given a gift. Would you receive that gift by putting your faith in Jesus Christ and starting your journey to follow him? Would you do that today? I'm going to ask we bow for prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed, no distraction. This is important.